the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas with us. Cal, we have a ceasefire in the Gulf, but America did drop bombs on southern Iran last night and claimed then afterwards these were self-defense strikes. So what's going on now in relation to this war that Trump started with the help of Benjamin Netanyahu?
Well, again, Matt, I reject your premise. The war was started in 1979 by the Ayatollahs. But moving on from there, the administration says that the bombing last night was to take out boats that were laying mines in the Strait of Hormuz and also attacking missile launching sites. So having a ceasefire, I guess, depends on what you mean by it. I'm greatly disturbed, though, by all of this. Nobody really knows what's going on. There have been different messages from the administration. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says that the Strait of Hormuz will be open. Tolls will not be charged by the Iranians. The Iranians are saying one thing. The U.S. various people are saying another. Trump is planning a cabinet meeting at Camp David in the Maryland Mountains tomorrow, a very unusual location which he never visits. He'd rather be in Mar-a-Lago. And as far as I know, Camp David has not been gilded up like the White House is yet. I think the reason for that is that he wants to make sure there are no leaks or what is going on. But you can't trust the Iranians to agree to anything. They've broken every promise they've made before. I think they're going to keep some amount of nuclear material. I think that the administration desperately wants the Strait of Hormuz open to lower gas prices in the United States ahead of the November election. And despite what he says, the president, I think that's his major objective.
So does this not suggest that what he's done has been an abject failure in that he has not, back last summer with the initial bombing and again with the war this year, he has not managed to obliterate the nuclear capacity. He has not managed to change the regime. Personnel at the top of it, yes, but the same regime is still in place. And worse than that, the Strait of Hormuz, which has never previously been closed, has been closed by Iran with enormous economic consequences globally. Does that not constitute a failure on the part of this mission by Trump?
Well, Matt, I think you could reasonably argue that if he had done nothing, and along with the Israelis, then the Iranians, according to various intelligence reports, would have had the capacity right now to have had a nuclear weapon, and that would have changed everything in the Middle East. So I think at the very least, we and the Israelis have set back the objectives of the Iranians, as we have done before on other occasions with Stuxnet things going into their computerized system and stopping their advancement of toward a nuclear weapon. I don't think it's been a failure, but I do think the Iranians are very smart. They have 30 provinces in their country, and they have spread out their military command and weapons and other things throughout the country. So it's not just about hitting Tehran or one target. It's about trying to take out the power centers all across the country, which is virtually impossible, I think.
Well, Trump has said he'd obliterated their defenses. Another listener saying the war started in 1953 when the US overthrew the democratic government of Iran at the time. Mary McCall, what's going on? Does it look like Trump is trying to find some way to back off without it being seen to be a defeat?
Well, you know, I'm relieved to hear, Cal, what you just said about not knowing what's going on, because honestly, I've been following this as well, and I don't think anybody really knows. But I think most concerningly, nobody in the White House and the Trump administration seems to know what's going on, because we've had all these leaks, which have been directed by the White House, by the way, and their communications people saying a deal is imminent, a deal will be made in a couple of hours. Then suddenly, once again, there's no deal and they're back to strikes. And then they're saying, well, we're just doing this to take out boats. It's an absolute mess. And I think that that's probably the only thing that could be said about it at the moment. You have Rubio saying one thing, Trump saying something else, the Iranians saying something entirely differently. And the ludicrousness of the situation is you're at a point where you cannot believe the Americans any more than you can believe the Iranians. And I don't think that could ever have been fairly said before. It's a mixture of incompetence, of bluster, of trying to really put lipstick on this god-awful pig that Trump has created. And I just don't know where it goes next, because as Cal correctly pointed out, the Iranians have been planning for this and they've decentralized a whole bunch of stuff. You can be sure that the nuclear stuff is not where the Americans think it is. And how are they going to get it out? How are they going to access it if it ever came to that? I think what Trump wants to do for now is just a sticking plaster solution. He is desperate to get the strait opened and to get oil and gas flowing again and get prices to drop in America before the midterms. I think that's as far as he sees, hence the 60-day thing, which Mike Pompeo and even his acolyte Lindsey Graham and everybody else is railing against, that he wants to just kick everything else down the road for another 2 months, which would give the Iranians more time to presumably reassemble this nuclear bomb that they're supposedly building. But again, it goes back to the question of if, as Donald Trump claimed last June, that he had obliterated Iran's nuclear capacity, how can they then be on the threshold of making a bomb, which is true, neither. And I think that the big tragedy of all of this is that back in 2015, after the JCPOA, the Obama deal was completed, 11,000 kilos of enriched uranium was taken out of Iran by boat. It was all supervised. It was all agreed. They were left with 3% of their stockpile, which was at about 3% enrichment, enough for domestic powering use and nothing else. Trump tore up that deal, and this is where we are now.
Cal, is there also finally a split in the Republican Party under Trump, in that you have people, as Marion referred to, who don't want this war, but you also have people who don't want him to sign a sort of a peace deal, who want him, as they see it, to finish the job?
Yes, that's correct. And Marion mentioned Lindsey Graham, who I don't think is really a credible source anymore. He just less than a week ago was attacking some of the Trump policies, and then later he tweeted, said that if in fact as a result of these negotiations to end the Iranian conflict, our Arab and Muslim allies in the region agreed to join the Abraham Accords, and that's not going to happen, it would make this agreement one of the most consequential in the history of the Middle East. Well, that's not going to happen. And you know, the thing about the Middle East, it's a snake pit. You don't negotiate and deal the way you do with virtually any other nation. And yes, there is a split in the Republican Party. There are those who didn't think we should have started this process anyway. There are those who said, okay, it was all right to start it, but we need to finish it. And then there are those who say that we've been in it too long. It's going to be another unending war like Afghanistan, and we need to do something to bring it to an end as rapidly as possible.
Of course,
take your pick.
Marion, of course, the other thing at the moment which is dividing the Republicans, and finally there's a bit of a kickback by some Republicans, is the $1.776 billion slush fund, which he has established in settlement of his own case against the Department of Justice. And also part of that deal that he and his family members and businesses would be forever exempt from tax audit. Could this be too much for some Republicans to bear?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. And it's ironic, isn't it, that this is the thing, this is the straw that seems to have, if not broken the Republican camel's back, to at least have dented it. They are furious about this, because how do you go? The Republican Party is supposedly the party of law and order. And this slush fund, according to it, and you've had apparently dozens of these January 6th insurrections, ones who directly attacked and injured policemen and pled guilty or were convicted for doing so, who are now answering their phones by saying, I'm a January 6th billionaire and all this kind of thing. And it's so embarrassing and so infuriating for Republicans who do believe in law and order and who were appalled by what they saw on January 6th, like so many other people. So there is a big division here. I saw that, I think it's Pat Fitzpatrick, he's a Republican congressman in Pennsylvania, and he's hanging onto his seat by the skin of his teeth for the midterms. And he's saying, we're going to block this. We're not going to let it go forward. A lot of other people are saying that as well. They had to suspend a vote on funding immigration and ICE when this all came out, because there was so much fury over it. They sort of backed off and said, okay, let's wait for everything to cool down. So there is real anger about this, because there is just no justification for it. And as well, on what you just said there, Matt, the White House has sent out some clarifications, including ones that I received, saying that the ban on investigating Trump is up to the what they're looking at already, that it's not, you could not have a lifetime ban for Trump and his family because the Constitution guarantees the equal application of all laws and due process applies to everyone. I mean, this would just be smashing a cornerstone of the Constitution if they allow that to go ahead. Most of it's illegal. It's not going to go ahead. None of it's going to go ahead. And I think the Republicans know that. And that's why they're so angry, because not only would it be impossible for it to pass and to take root, but that they're getting this enormous black eye unnecessarily in the meantime. And it's really revealing the depths of the corruption, which Donald Trump is fine with.
Okay.
I agree.
And what about the ballroom at the moment? Is that not something that a lot of Republicans are now starting to wise up to, about the $1 billion that is going to be moved from budget funds into looking after this ballroom for him?
Matt, there are so many other issues that deserve to be addressed, and these are just side issues that most Americans don't care about. It's simply more of the ego trip for Trump. A federal judge now, again, has put on hold the construction. But if you see the pictures, as you can find on the Internet, the thing looks like it's about half built. So, and plus, he had promised that only private funds would be used to build this thing. And now we're hearing that it's maybe another $1 or $2 billion of tax dollars that we don't have, with a $39 trillion debt, to finish the job. Look, I understand, especially when we just had this guy over the weekend shot and killed near the White House, who had a gun and was trying to get inside the White House while the president was there. I understand that there seem to be a lot more threats against this president than any other in recent time, and security needs to be upgraded. But I think that's a poor excuse on its own just for building this ballroom. The White House is a beautiful place.
I think you'll find, Cal, there were more attacks on the White House in Obama's time and in Biden's time than there have been in Trump's time. But you'll find that what is common between all of them is that the security is sufficient to stop anyone succeeding at the White House.
Well, there have been, as you know, there have been very, very obvious and visual attempts on President Trump's life, most famously in Butler, Pennsylvania, where, you know, his ear was shot. He happened to turn his head just right. And the rhetoric, I mean, not just against Trump. I mean, I grew up at a time, and as a young reporter, when, yes, there was serious debate between parties and among members of Congress and others, but nobody got to the point of this kind of name-calling. You had people on this program called The View a couple of weeks ago, one of them saying that murder might be an option for getting rid of Trump. I just think that the level of vitriol from both sides, but especially encouraged by Trump, is unacceptable and frankly un-American.
Because, Marion, tell listeners about his Memorial Day post.
Well, I mean, his Memorial Day posts, where he boasted about himself and you know, saying the Democrats were disrespecting the fallen soldiers, and made a really crass joke about not too many soldiers who died in the line of fire being named Donald. I mean, the whole thing is just disgraceful and disgusting. But I think what really epitomizes what Cal correctly refers to as just the change in discourse is the communications director, Steve Chung. When Mike Pompeo, who was the CIA director and who was the defense secretary in Trump's first term, criticized this deal with Iran by saying it's not America first. And he issued a post. This is Trump's communication director saying he should shut his effing mouth. And I'm paraphrasing here until he knows what he's talking about. I mean, it's just appalling at every level. Okay. I completely agree with Cal.
Thank you, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.